Win 50,000 euro with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
What a weekend ahead of us. Welcome to the From the Horse's Mouth podcast as we look ahead to Saturday at the Dublin Racing Festival with Ruby Walsh and Rory DeLargy. My name is Patrick Kennelly. This is the first of 2 podcasts this weekend. We're going 2 separate ones. We've got one on Sunday, or we're going to look ahead to Sunday tomorrow. So watch out for that. And also watch out for Fridays with Fran in between. We're going to squeeze him in. Not only that, Pick 5 worth 50 grand on Saturday. It's free to play. 50 grand. We're doing a bonus round worth 25 grand on Sunday as well of the Dublin Racing Festival. The races have already been decided. Check out the show notes. And remember, that's free to play. 50 grand available on the Saturday. And a reminder, watch the Cheltenham Countdown show on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Do subscribe to the show because producer Mark keeps on reminding me to tell you to subscribe to the show. I'm wondering, Ruby, do you know, does producer Mark get a euro for every subscriber, or is it a tenner, or is it, I mean, the amount of times I've mentioned this.
I'd say he's definitely on a quarter here, but like all good salesmen, PK, you'd expect that he is, wouldn't you?
I'd like to think so. I'm waking up shouting, subscribe, comment in the middle of the night. Rory, how are you ahead of a brilliant weekend?
I have been slightly better, but I'm all the better for seeing the entries for the weekend, particularly the first race.
Yes. He's ready. Yes,
if I fall off after the first race, you'll know it was worthwhile anyway.
Okay, the Nathaniel and Lacey's, the big race of the weekend for Rory. Speaking of Cheltenham Countdown, obviously we're all thinking about Cheltenham after this weekend. It really is all guns blazing. But if you think you've an angle ahead of Cheltenham before the DRF or during it, Paddy Power, an exclusive. We are going non-runner. Money back on all Cheltenham races as of 12 p.m. Friday afternoon. And as I talk to you, Rory and Ruby, it's 11:59. So by the time this is out, it's non-runner money back on Cheltenham. So that's going to be brilliant. And that is this afternoon being the 3rd of February. Sorry, that will be Friday, rather. Friday. Today's Thursday. Jeez, I've already got that wrong. You know the way before, you know, Rory, the pre-meeting chat with producer Mark, and I said I'll just read it out.
Yeah. Stick to the script,
PK.
Good advice.
All right, got that wrong. Anyway, let's move on. DRF, we've got brilliant races to cover, and we've just had prizes revealed for, that's the day of race book. We're going to kick off at the 120. It used to be known as the Golden Signet, would you believe, Rory? You probably did know that.
But it's still known as the Golden Signet, isn't it?
Okay,
It's registered as a Golden Signet. It will always be the Golden Signet.
Okay.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Sponsored by Nathaniel and Lacey Solicitors. Big drift.
Lacey Solicitors would like to say there's no and between their names.
Okay, well, I've got four things wrong already, lads. Here we go.
Listen, you might as well get them all out of the way right away, mightn't you?
At least you're correcting me, not Ruby. Goodland, he was 2-1 anti-post. He's drifted to 11-4 for Barry Connell as we record on Thursday at noon. 9-2 Sandor Clegane. It's American Mike at 11-2, 15-2, or sorry, 13-2 Grange Clare West for Willie Mullins. We've all been caught 11-2, the British Raider. That'd be some scalp up there to win the first race. And you've got also 9-2 for Kay de Parry. Right, Rory, you were very keen on one, so off you go.
Yeah, I've had one bet for the Cheltenham Festival this season, and that is We've All Been Caught for the Albert Bartlett. On the back of the win of Rock My Way in the Grade 2 hurdle at Cheltenham on trials day, I think I said on the previous show, you know, if I think that form's good, but obviously it's hard to gauge because we know very little about the runner-up. He was 66-1 on the day, but I'd expect him to back that up next time he runs. And if he wins a maiden hurdle or whatever, I'll be inclined to back We've All Been Caught. Well, he's gone and won a Grade 2 hurdle. And We've All Been Caught beat him a length and a quarter on New Year's Day. And the pair of them came 20 and more lengths clear, 23 lengths clear of the third. That is good form. We've All Been Caught had raced in a Grade 2 on his hurdles debut at Cheltenham, finishing third to Hermes Allen and Music Drive. I was quite impressed with him, given that he looked pretty green that day. He didn't know what to do when he came into the first hurdle. Lost a lot of ground there. And then, you know, got a bit outpaced. I was impressed with how well he stayed on from the last that day. Never looked like laying a glove on Hermes Allen, but he was closing Music Drive down up the run-in, and I thought he's a horse who will improve for a step up and trip. You're never quite sure until they back it up again, but he went and won on New Year's Day. His form over hurdles come on good to soft ground. He should get conditions pretty well to suit. I know they're still watering the track, aren't they, at Leopardstown? Yeah, so the going won't be too soft here. He won his bumper on soft. Nigel Twiston Davis used to do well with bumper runners first time out. Doesn't so much these days. Tends to look more at the long term. We know he said this is going to win the Gold Cup. We can largely ignore statements like that from Nigel Twiston Davis. It does tell us that he likes the horse, though. And I would very much like to see We've All Been Caught win this to justify British entries in the races as much as anything. There only are two through the weekend, aren't there? It'd be great if Nigel Twiston Davis could take this horse across and win a Grade One contest at Leopardstown. It would be great for the meeting, great for Nigel, great for the pubs of Dublin, fundamentally. And I'm very much here for that. I don't really mind if he finishes second or third. I'm looking for a good run from him, but he's probably going to be slightly overpriced anyway. So he'd be my selection for the race. But if he finishes in the first three here, I think that will just aid his development as well. One or two of these have got a bit more experience on the jumping front, and he might just get caught out. He might get done for two, but a good run from him will certainly bolster my confidence going into Cheltenham.
The Brits to win the first race potentially of the Dublin Racing Festival. Ruby, there's two in here for Willie. Paul Tennant has decided or has been told to ride Quai de Paris as opposed to Grangeclair West.
I'd say he decided, PK. Grangeclair West was obviously disappointing in the Lawler's Hotel last time out. Quai de Paris won his maiden hurdle in Tremor. Didn't really blow anybody away, but he got the job done. Personally, nine runners in the race. I'm going to forgive American Mike his defeat in Navan. He hasn't run in a while. I'm assuming Gordon Elliott has gone back to the drawing board with him. I think his bump performance very good. And I think with a big each-way angle here, I think American Mike is the bet.
Okay. Davey Russell to bang in a winner on his first ride at the Dublin Racing Festival. We didn't expect him to be riding in about a month or so ago. Now, Willie Mullins, I'm going to start with you in the 155. This is the Spring Juvenile because Willie has six of the eight runners, amazingly. Lossie Maith, of course, she's the big favourite for the Triumph. She's 4-11. No Blood Destiny. We were expecting potentially a matchup between those two. Hopefully we see them at Cheltenham. You've got Gala Marceau at 7-2, Takeo at 12-1, 14-1 Gus to win. Right, Ruby, we know Lossie Maith, I'm going to assume she's shown the best form to date.
Oh, she has. She beat Gallum Marceau here at Christmas. She was very, very good, PK. She won a Fairy House as well. She's rock solid and she's that kind of price. So it's where do you go away from her? I think Gallum Marceau has improved since Christmas. There's no doubt about that. Takao, he won a maiden, but I'm not sure how strong that maiden was that he won at Christmas. So I think he has to improve a bit. Gust of Wind won well at Auteuil, but he won in September at Auteuil. So it's very unusual for Willie to go to war with these horses, but you would like what you see at home. But they're just hard to gauge. We haven't got him. I suppose we haven't since October, but he's not coming off a summer's break. He's coming from racing and being fit in France, so it's hard. Obviously, since as the next one, she's still a maiden, and Jour de Fête is a maiden as well. Was disappointed here at Christmas. You can narrow it down to the four. And again, with an each-way angle here, or even betting without Lossie Maith, I'd probably chance Gust to Wind. I like what I see at home. I don't think he'll beat Lossie Maith. At any chance of him beating Lossie Maith, but I think he could get close to her in front of Gala Marceau, and that might do.
There were nibbles for Gust to Wind in the Antipost Triumph Market at Cheltenham. It's probably, Rory, we discussed on Monday, be smart. Look at the entries for the Grade Ones for horses you haven't seen. And I think that's what people were doing because they saw Gust of Wind in the 5-day for this and they thought, well, if he's going to run there, he might run at Cheltenham. What are your thoughts on this race?
Yeah, I agree with Ruby. It's a difficult race to get heavily involved in, other than the fact that you do have, at this stage, a dead eight runners, which suggests that you should try to be a bit snide and have an each-way bet.
The account closer.
And again, yeah, Ruby says it's probably down to the four of them who can make the frame. Lossie Maith ought to win. She doesn't represent some obvious value at the prices. So, and the other interesting one that I haven't really got to mention is Takao, who has a handicap mark already, doesn't he? And he looks a very interesting one for the Boodles, the Fred Winter. But the question is, if that's the intention for him, he wouldn't want to ruin his handicap mark by getting too close in this, but maybe Willie just thinks he's a better horse than that. But given that Ruby's not mentioned him at all, I'd be inclined to think that Takao might be heading a handicap route, and that suggests that Gust of Wind could be the interesting one. But can you back a horse each way on his? Or I mean, in fairness, Willie's had horses go very close to this on their Irish debut before. It's just a case of trusting the French form and whether you want to back Gust of Wind first time. But Ruby's comments are reasonably positive there. And I could see that would be that'd be a potential way. And if I thought that Willie generally thought Takao might actually develop into Triumph Hurdle Horse and therefore was going to be properly tried here, then he'd make plenty of appeal. But in the back of your mind, JP owns Handicap Project. You're not massively inclined to get the wallet out, are you?
Sounds like a bit of a pass, really, essentially, for this race for you. All right, Gust of Wind, certainly the interesting one in the Spring Juvenile Hurdle, the 155. Let's move on to, lads, now, I can't rattle off Irish Arkles to beat the band, but this has the look of an unbelievable race. And remember, Ruby, I asked you to ask William Mullins to start having some of those races down in Clissutton. I think we've got one here. They've just moved it to Leopardstown. Appreciate it. 6-4. Dysart Dynamo, 5-2. Banbridge for Joseph, 6-1. El Fabiolo for Willie, 6-1. San Juan, very good hurdler, 12-1. Fieldor for Gordon Elliott, 14-1. Flame Bearer, 20-1. And 33-1 Visionarian. There you go, Ruby. That just shows you some of those really classy horses at double figure prices. This is a belter.
An absolute belter, yeah. Paul Ride's appreciated. Obviously, Danny is on Dysart Dynamo. Daryl Jacob on El Fabiolo, you throw Banbridge in there for pace, and he was really, really good at Cheltenham in November. Mark Walsh rides Saint Waugh, and he'll be coming from off the pace. Think he could be value each way purely because of the way he'll be ridden, and I think this will be a really strongly run race. You have Flame Bear, Brian Hayes rides, he likes to go forward. You have Dysart Dynamo who go forward. El Fabiolo won't be too far away, and Banbridge. I think this would be a really strongly run race. Appreciated to be just behind the pace, but I just think that it could set up for one coming from off the pace if you're looking for a bit of value, and that could be San Roy. But I do think Paul Townend has gone for the right horse, and I would like to be an appreciated. He'll do me.
Okay, appreciate it. Watch out for San Roy in the each way or the betting without markets for Ruby. It's a belter, isn't it, Rory? It's great to see Willie pitching all these novices against each other.
I think it is. There's a debate about this. And I kind of dipped my toe in the water on this on Twitter this morning. People say, and people tend to say that it's, this is really bad for Irish racing, that all the talent is in 1 yard and it can't be good long-term. People said that a dozen years ago about the strength that Willie had in the yard. And yet I remember 1987 to 1989 when one Irish trainer managed to win a race at the Cheltenham Festival. And in 3 years, the Irish had one successful horse at the festival in a three-year period. There was no dominant Irish trainer then, unless you want to say Paddy Mullins was top of the tree. There were lots of trainers had a chance of getting a festival winner. There were no festival winners. Now we're told that the only guy who can train Cheltenham Festival winners is Willie Mullins, and yet you're getting 6-7 Irish trainers every year training winners at the Cheltenham Festival. So it seems to me this can't be bad for the sport. I'd much rather see an 8-runner race with all Willie's good horses in it than a 3-runner race with Willie selected, which people would somehow be happier with, I think. Yeah. So I think the argument is massively flawed. And you see the results of that in what happens on the track. And yes, if the only person training winners in Ireland was Willie Mullins and everything else was going to the wall, and I know there are issues related to that, but the bottom line is Irish racing, in terms of the depth of talent, has never been as healthy. And more Irish trainers have a good chance of getting winners at the festival. 2021, there were 5 different Irish trainers training winners on the first day of the festival. For me, that suggests that the dominance of Willie Mullins is not the problem that a lot of people say it is. That's my rant over.
All of that taken into account, we go back to the Cheltenham Countdown on Monday. We had a good long conversation about Banbridge, who you certainly have a liking for. So all the William Mullins chat, are you fancying him here, though?
Well, I would like to see Banbridge finish second or third here. Because as I said, I don't think he's got quite the explosive speed needed for 2 miles. He's going to be a very good horse over 2 miles. He showed that when winning the Oracle Trial at Cheltenham by 6 lengths in November. From a horse who was at that time rated 155. And he's clearly very good. But for me, he'll be better at 2.5. And I kind of like Joseph's mind made up here by him staying on strongly into a place. I still might back him to win. I'd back him each way, I think. in the race, because you know something will give. Appreciate it has got the ability to blow this apart from the front. Ruby's probably right. There's a lot of pace on here, and the clever bet is backing one to pick up the pieces. And he's probably right. The Saint-Croix is the one that fits the bill there. He can make the running, but he came from off the pace when winning the Grade One at Christmas, and he's liable to sit off the pace here. Most of these can be ridden handily. I don't think Banbridge will. I mean, you could argue that Banbridge should use his stamina and go forward here, but you know he did make the running at Goran on his chase debut, but generally speaking, he sat just behind the pace. So I think he'd be happy enough letting Appreciate It and possibly another go on there, Flame Bearer maybe, and sit just behind them and hope that his jumping will keep him in the race and look to outstay them from the last. I think he's a solid bet each way, because I don't think he's going to get involved in a burn-up if there is a burn-up. And I think he will be going on at the finish, which is important at Leopardstown, because although you've got to have pace to go with them here, you do got to see it out from the last. You do have to see it out from the last, rather. It's a stiff finish, and it finds a lot of horses out. So you've got to, if you're backing one, you want to do one. If you're backing one each way here, you really want to have one that is going to do its best work later on and pick up places, rather than something that's going to be in a place jumping the last who might not see it out. So Banbridge fits the bill for me. It's not the sexiest bet in the world, because I kind of don't want him to win in terms of his festival target, but I'd be delighted if he did, quite frankly.
Fair enough. Banbridge each way. Ruby saying Appreciated to win, but Saint-Croix potentially a bit of value in the each way market. It's a cracking renewal. It's definitely the best one we've ever seen. I'm going back centuries there. Let's move on to the big race on day one of DRF. It is the 305, the Paddy Power sponsored Irish Gold Cup. As we record, Galopin des Champs is 1-3, Statler 9-2. Then you've got 12-1 Kenboy, Fury Road 20s, the Big Dog 25s, 33s, any second name, Franco de Port 50-1. Ruby Walsh, Galopin des Champs, favour for the Gold Cup, favour for the Irish Gold Cup on Saturday. Tell us, how's he going?
He's in great form. Obviously, Paul Townend has picked him. Patrick Mullins will ride Statler. Danny's on Franco de Port and Rachel Blackmore will ride Kenboy. But look, he's in great form, PK. I think he's a much more mature horse this year. He jumped brilliantly in the John Durkin. I think there's pace in there with Kenboy. He'll go a good enough gallop. Statler won't be too far away. Neither will Gallop in the Champ. I can't see Paul dropping him in or anything, but I think he'll win. He's priced that way as well, though. So there's no value there. And what are you looking for a bit of value? Like, it's a funny one. On ratings, Statler should be second. He's 163. But he's only a pound in front of any second now. And I think my dad's horse could run really well. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished second any second now. He's in great form. He's had one run this season. He ran well in a hurdle race. And at Punchestown on New Year's Eve behind St. Sam, I think he could run into the money behind Gallop and Deschamps at a price, but I fully expect Gallop and Deschamps to win.
Just on Gallop and Deschamps, Ruby, this is his first try at 3 miles in open company, and then obviously he's got the extra couple at Cheltenham, assuming he goes on to win here. Does that mean that Paul is cognizant of that with a view to Cheltenham, or it's just win today and we'll deal with Cheltenham afterwards?
Sure, it doesn't matter what he does on Saturday, Paul, or PK. He's not going to find out if he gets 3.25 miles, because the race is only 3 miles. So it doesn't matter what way he rides him, he can't find that out. So he just rides him to win. I think he'll win. And I actually hope he's impressive. But you're not going to know tomorrow on Saturday night whether this horse gets 3.25 or not. You are not going to know that until Friday, John.
Fair enough. All right. Well, you see how Galopin des Champs goes. He's obviously half favourite. Interesting show for any second now, who one assumes could be Grand National bound again. Rory?
I was just going to ask the question. I know it's kind of proven already, but are we absolutely sure Galopin des Champs is going to stay 3 miles over fences? He did win over 3 miles as a novice hurdler at Punchestown, but he had that race in the bag two out and didn't have to prove his stamina to win it. So there has to be a marginal question mark as to how well he will see this out. It's possibly not going to be a breakneck gallop, so it might not be the stiffest test of stamina, but it's only a slight worry, but I still think you have to mark it up as a marginal concern that he's unproven over 3 miles over fences, and until he does it, you don't really know. And we've had plenty of horses look like they will stay 3 miles and then come up short. Brilliant horses as well. So that's a minor worry for me. he's a very short price. Again, this is a great card. It's not necessarily a great punting card, unless you're the kind of player who likes backing odds on shots. The each way angle isn't as obvious here with seven runners, but there aren't many you can give a winning chance to here. And I reckon you could probably afford to back Statler each way here. He's pretty solid around here. He definitely stays the trip. He was pretty impressive last season. He will progress again. I thought he looked pretty good despite getting beaten by Manila Indo in the New Year's Day chase at Tremor. He tanked through that race and just wasn't given a hard time at the end of it, and went down in a tight foot, possibly the wrong side of Manila Indo in the finish there, given the layout of the track. But he's going to come forward from that. He's got a bit to find with Gallop and Champ, but not tons. And I think with the slight question over Gallop and Champ's stamina, you've got a squeak of winning this race, and you've got a very solid chance of finishing second.
Okay, keep an eye out for Statler each way. Ruby going with Gallopin to beat any second now. It's the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup. Can't wait for it. Add you off at 3:05. That's that's the third leg of the big treble. I've already put it into my vest slip. Can you guess it, Rory?
Yeah. which one lets you down? That's the question.
Yeah, which one of Gallop and Sean appreciate it and Lossiemouth lets me down? It works out currently at 7-2. I'm not going to lie. It's going in. So I'm doing it.
Horses you stick in those bets, the more attractive the odds look.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes.
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
These multiplication tables are never my strong point, but it does seem to work out that way, yeah. Let's move on to the first handicap we'll look at over the weekend. It is the 3-miler Jove at 3:40, Maxim for Gordon Elliott and the up-and-coming Kean Quirk, 4-1 favourite as we record. Percival Legolois for Gavin Cromwell, we saw Christmas 9-2. Jungle Pros for Gordon Elliott is 13-2. Sam's Choice also for Gordon, 15-2. 9-1 for Willie Mullins and Paul Taylor with Blue Sari. And then Lucky Max is a 10-1 shot, pretty consistent animal himself. I'll go back to you, Roy, for this wide open handicap. Obviously, an extra place available on this. Producer Mark's got a selection of this. I'll give you that one as well later. But what are your thoughts?
I probably wouldn't be able to buy a house with the money I've made betting in Irish handicap hurdles. It has to be said.
Probably, yes, I probably would.
I'd probably have my house repossessed on the basis of the profits I've made betting on Irish handicap hurdles. But I thought Lucky Max was a very obvious one here. What price is Lucky Max?
Tens, double figures.
Yeah, listen, tens is pretty attractive. He's only a pound higher than when fourth at Navan last time out. He was a winner at Cork in his previous start. I suppose the question is he's very effective on deep ground. And how soft it is in the hurdles track is a bit of a question mark, but I thought he maybe would have won at Navan under different circumstances. He travelled very strongly into the race. He looked sure to win between the last two hurdles and just got outstayed from there by HMS Seahorse and dear old Felix Deji. I thought that was a strong handicap hurdle. I thought at a track that wasn't quite as stiff as that, he'd have gone close. I thought if he was maybe waited with a little bit longer, he'd have gone close. And he's clearly handicapped to win a race like this. The questions are, as I said, he's very effective on deep ground, and he is stepping up to 3 miles for the first time. So that's a little bit of a question for me. Obviously, he's raced over 3 miles in points, hasn't he? I say that. I assume he has. Given the connections he's from, given he's trained by Farmer Doyle, that's a little bit of a worry. But if he stays the trip, he's definitely handicapped to go fairly close. And Rob James taking off £7 again, as he did last time out. He knows the horse a little better now. He won on him at Cork before that. There are slight concerns there, but as I said, from a handicapping point of view, he's one of the more interesting ones, and he should go well.
Okay, keep an eye for Lucky Max each way. Ruby, two for Willie here that I can see. Obviously, I mentioned Blue Sari. Also, the somewhat disappointing horse in the Ken Alexander colours.
Bell Metal.
Yeah, Bell Metal.
Yeah, she has been disappointing. Rachel Blackmore rides her colours that she will wear on Honeysuckle down near the bottom, but she's had a couple of disappointing runs. Blue Sari probably ran okay, PK, behind Gaelic Warrior at Clonmel on his first start after a long layoff, but I know they're putting plenty of water on the ground in Leopardstown, but I've always felt Blue Sari was a better horse on really soft ground, so he would want a lot of rain to fall. And I kind of liked one at a huge price that I was taking a chance on. Mm-hmm. And I think it's definitely one bit of form that stands out over all other form in this race. And, you know, that's the Bechtel stud, champion of his hurdle in Punchestown last year. Mighty Potter won the race. Sir Gerhard was third. Vina Ardanza was fourth. And Dysart Dynamo was fifth. But Gatsby Gray finished second. Now, I know that was a 2 mile race, but he steps up to 3 miles tomorrow afternoon, off a mark in the high 130s. Philip Enright rides him. I think Oliver McKiernan's horses are in good form. And I'm going to take a chance on him at 40 to 1 each way.
40 to 1 tip. Hello. Lovely stuff. So that's Gatsby Gray.
It's a flyer now. It's a flyer. Oh, yeah. But if he was to go and win, and I look back at that form, I'd be thinking, how did I not put him up at 40 to 1?
Exactly. You don't have to. You could have a couple of quid on him anyway, you know?
You'd probably be making money backing Oliver McKiernan's horses blind at Leopardstown over the years, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they tend
think
to
you would too.
They do, yeah, they do pop up at big prices.
Yeah, you remember when they just hit the front, like 2 miles out in a 3 mile, and you're like, right, that one's not stopping. Right, Gatsby Gray for Ruby, Lucky Max for Rory. I mentioned producer Mark got a tip for Walk to Freedom for Peter Fahey's course. Is it Walk to Freedom? I think something like that for Peter Fahey. So watch out for that one as well. He's backed it at a worse price than it currently is because he's
Freedom to Dream.
I was thinking of the movie about Nelson Mandela, wasn't I? Yeah.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, 10 past 4 is the handicap chase, the 2 mile handicap chase, and a furlong that is. And Final Orders is the 11 to 4 favourite for Gam Cromwell and Keith Donoghue. When will this horse stop improving? Going for another win, 5 in a row potentially. Joint favourite with Mouse Morris's Get My Drift, 9 to 2 Rebel Gold, A Wave of the Sea tops the weights for Joseph, 7 to 1, Field du Dari, 8 to 1, and it is 10's bar. Ruby Walsh, the 2 miler, please.
Yeah, look, 2 milers in Ireland. Final Orders up to 140 now. Get My Drift as a 130 rating. Look, Rebel Gold, to be fair to him, beat Dun Vegan in the Dan Moore, and he's up £8 for it. I think that form is fairly solid. Dun Vegan ran to the pound in the Tingle Creek. I thought he had a chance in the Dan Moore. This fella beat him by 9. He's up £8. I still think Rebel Gold is on the up, even as a 10-year-old. And I'm going to side with him for Pat Foley.
All right, Pat Foley, son of Tom, to have a winner on a huge weekend at Leopardstown. We think back to the great days of Denoli here. Rory? You love a handicap?
I tend not to love Leopardstown handicaps, as my bank manager reminds me occasionally. You can't ignore Final Orders. He comes here in very, very good form. But whether he's up to a mark of 140 is a slight question mark. But he was impressive here. Last time I didn't think that was the strongest race. I remember looking at that race and trying to find the winner of the time because it was part of Paddy's pick five, I believe, on the day. The course and distance handicap chase that he won. I didn't think there was an awful lot of strength in it. Hal Safari was third. Grange Walk was back and forth. He reopposes here. I thought 9 point higher mark might just find him out, certainly for a horse that stays 3 miles. Another who stays a bit further, I would take a chance on Feast du Dairy, who's a little bit frustrating, but is well handicapped on his hurdles form, and didn't shape at all badly in a handicap hurdle at Listowel in September over this trip. He does stay further over fences, but again, you need to stay 2 mile one pretty well at Leopardstown to get home. He's off the same mark as when not beaten far at Killarney in August. Comes here fresh. I think there's a bit of scope for him. I think he's the one here that I would be interested in as a grand annual horse in the race. Whether that's where they're going to go, whether they think Festival play it for him. But I think he'd be Cheltenham bound, and I think he's well enough handicapped off 137 to go close here.
Okay, fielded each way. It's about 8 to 1, I think.
He's probably a win only bet in this race, given that his hurdles form arguably a little bit more solid than his chase form so far.
Every time I suggest each way, you always go win only. I never get it right. The bumper. Well,
I went each way in a 7-runner race earlier on. Didn't ask me that.
Well, I'm afraid to. I've been called a mug too many times. The 440 is the bumper. It's the graded Future Stars bumper. At Anti-Post, we had Facile Mode as favourite for this after his impressive win at Leprosin over the Christmas period. But he's weaker now. He was 2.28 to 3.1. Charlie Mullins is jocked up, and as you will rightly say, he cannot claim in this race, I'm pretty sure. Better Days Ahead, 7-2 for Jamie Codd and Gordon Elliott. Fact to File for Willie is 7-2 also. Chosen Witness, out again quite quickly, is 4. Sorry, not quite quickly. Ruby mentioned him as a dark horse for the bumper at Cheltenham, is 4-1. 7-1, Ferronley, and then 12's Bar. All right, Ruby, of the Willie Mullins, you mentioned Chosen Witness could be the flyer for the Cheltenham bumper. Will he be the flyer that wins this?
I'm going to stick with him at some point to put up in Cheltenham if I don't think he can win at Leopardstown. So I'm going to stick with him. Patrick has opted for Fact to File a 1/2 at Christmas. I expect he will have improved a good bit, PK, for that run. Better Days Ahead, beat Chapeau de Soil, and you obviously have Facile Mode. But look, I went with Chosen Witness last week at Cheltenham, so I'm going to stick with him here at Leopardstown on Saturday.
Lovely. Very, very interesting. Largy Hill Special Cadeau also in the race. Emmett's got one in there too. This song's for you.
Two. He's for Onley as well.
And for Onley, indeed. With Derek O'Connor booked, which is very eye-catching. Rory?
Yeah, I thought for Onley was quite interesting. He actually comes out top on the time form ratings, although I am always wary of ratings for bumper races. He looked like winning on debut and still ran pretty well. In that the bumper around Christmas time, and he sort of comes into the equation on that. Facile Mode is really interesting. I'd really like him to come through and be the bumper star this season. The story is a good one. Charlie Mullins keeps the ride here, so he's a more realistic price than he was Andy Post for this at 3-1, and I certainly wouldn't put you off at the prices. But there's a massive turnaround in the way it's between him and Special Cadeau here. Special Cadeau was giving him a stone at Christmas and did all the donkey work there as well, and was beaten 5 lengths or less into third. I thought Special Cadeau chipped pretty well there, and I think he's got a decent chance of turning the form around, certainly in form terms, on the revised race. I haven't got the jockeys in front of me here, but it doesn't make much. No one's claiming in this race anyway. But with Charlie Mullins losing that £7 claim,
sorry, Rory, you're mentioning claims. Jody Townend can't claim.
She has
Chosen Witness, but the rest are non-claimers. Pat Taff, I think he's down to 3, but the rest are non-claimers.
You've got Barry O'Neill on Special Cadeau, by the way.
Barry O'Neill, well, that certainly wouldn't put me off.
He's ridden a few winners in points.
He's ridden a few winners, all right. So I say he's a stone better off. It'll be £11 because Jody was actually claiming at Christmas as well. So yeah, okay. Jody rode this. But still, that's quite a turnaround. I thought Special Cadeau shaped pretty well there. He was a winner on his debut for Pam Sly in November. So Willie didn't have him long before he ran on that bumper. And I think he's each way by that. I don't think he's the best of these. He might be. That's the whole thing about bumper horses. You never really know until you keep running them. But from a form perspective, I think he's got a better chance than it looks because of the weights that were carried at Christmas comparing him with Facile Mode. I do think that was a very good race. I think Facile Mode is, the more I look at it, the more I think he is the real deal. But when you consider the weights that were carried there and the weights that are carried here, there shouldn't be as much between him and Special Cadeau. So Special Cadeau would be the each way play for me.
Lovely. Right. That is Leopardstown wrapped up. It would be loath of us not to have a quick look across the water. There is other racing going on this weekend, and Musselburgh and Sandown are very much the highlights on ITV. Rory, in particular, I asked you to potentially have a quick glance at a few races. We love a national, and we've got the near 4 mile Edinburgh National on Saturday from Musselburgh. And I don't think any Irish horses declared,
Regina de Conis, no?
Oh, is there one? Is there one in
it? Yeah.
Ah, Regina, there it is, Tom Gibney's. Yes, Gibney, yes. Yeah. And Darrow Keefe sent over. That's interesting. So what are your thoughts on that, if you have any?
I thought, this is an interesting race, the Edinburgh National. Near 4 miles, but quite a sharp track. So you need a combination of a little bit of speed to stay with them and the stamina to see out 4 miles as well. I ended up coming down on Trucker's Lodge here. From a handicapping perspective, one or two negatives. I'm not sure the track is going to suit him as well as some here. But he's ridiculously well handicapped now. He won the Midlands National at Uttoxeter in March 2020 and got clobbered by the handicapper. Now, for me, you can win a race like that on heavy ground just by running to your mark. And he was rated 141 when he won that. He went up a stone for it, and it made it really tough for him for well over a season. He made the frame in the Welsh National last season off a mark of 150, but was beaten 16 lengths. And then he made the frame again this season, he's been quite a long way this year, but it was really, really tough going in that Welsh National. Distances don't tell you the story. I still look positively on horses who could actually finish the race there. Only seven of them got home in the end. Truckers Lodge finished fourth, weakened late on to be beaten. He's 22 lengths behind the big dog in third. And beaten 28 lengths in total. I think he shaped a lot better than that. The handicapper has given him a real chance by dropping him now to 137, which is below his last winning mark, when he's had a really tough time in good handicaps since then. And on top of that, Freddie Gingell takes £7 off his back as well. So he's cut off 132 effectively, if you like taking riders' claims as gospel. And that makes him look very, very well treated here. Normally, he's got big weights to carry, and his task is an onerous one in handicaps. This is the first time in a long time he's in a winning chance, and I think he will go very close off it. You'd like him more at a track like Chepstow, where he's got very good form, and you'd like him more on deeper ground because it doesn't have to get too testing at Musselburgh. But I kept coming back to him because his mark, he's 11-year-old now, but he's not over-raced for that. He retains the vast majority of his ability, and his handicap mark for the first time in a long time gives him a big chance of winning a race like this, and I'm happy to stick with him.
Truckers Lodge, he's 6-1 as we record on Thursday afternoon for that race. I'm doing the coincidence double, Flower of Scotland to win and Scotland to beat England in the rugby, which kicks off a couple hours later. On the Scots, the Braveheart double. Ruby, you obviously had the briefest of looks at that race because you saw there's an Irish horse, or will it move on to the Scilly Isles?
No, I thought actually the Irish horse had a chance. Regina de Cronis, jumping is her issue, fell behind the big dog in the Tri-Town, then ran O'Cray in the Porterstown behind Punitive and fell at the 14th in the Welsh National, which is just beyond halfway. So, look, a mark of 128, Darrow O'Keefe goes to Musselburgh to ride Regina de Cronis, and I think at a big price, 14-1, worth an each way look.
Happy days. Lovely, Regina de Cronis. Watch out for that
Not the stiffest fences in the world at Musselburgh.
Oh, that was definitely yeah, pushing me towards it.
Yeah, some of the softest fences in the country, I'd say.
Kick them over. 220, the Scilly Isles at Sandown is one grade one in the UK on Saturday. And Gordon Elliott's race planner, who could be Gordon Elliott, has spotted a lovely little opportunity for Jerry Kalam, sending this one over with the DRF on 10-11. Jordan Gainford going over to pick up potentially grade one over 2.5 miles. Montmorel 4-1 for Paul Nichols. Thunder Rock also 4-1 for Ollie Murphy. Balco Coastal's 9-2. And Bow to Greatness has no chance, according to the betting, at 66-1. This looks potentially a very good bit of placing by Gordon Elliott, doesn't it, Ruby?
It does, but you look at Jerry Kalam's form, PK, beat Idness Boy in Turles on a hurdle race, beat Braun at Fairy House in a novice chase, and beat Adamantly Chosen in Limerick at Christmas. It doesn't scream grade one form, but I just think Jerry Kalam is only going to just about beat whatever he races against. He's that kind of horse, and I think he'll be okay with the step up here to take on Balco Coastal, Bow to Greatness, Monmoral and Thunder Rock. And I think, look, obviously the form behind the real whacker, Monmoral and Thunder Rock, that's something that might go up here. But I think Jerry Kalam will cope with the step up in grade.
He's never been beaten. We haven't quite got to the potential. Well, have we? Has he reached his potential? I suppose we just don't know. Rory?
Yeah, he stands out here, doesn't he? This isn't a bad race. And of course, it will tell us plenty about the strength of the form of the Dipper at the Paddy Power Novices Chase, of course.
Thank you very much.
At Cheltenham on New Year's Day, in which Monmoral and Thunder Rock were second and third behind the Real Whacker. People taking a different view of that. Some people thinking it sort of bubble burst from Monmoral and Thunder Rock. Others thinking the Real Whacker is the real deal. Gaining his second impressive Cheltenham win and potentially a value play and wherever he rocks up at Cheltenham, which may end up being the Gold Cup if Pat Neville has his way. So that'll be a test for the form. The clock says it's very good form. You look through the race and you just wonder about the you wonder about the stamina of Montmirail, and you wonder about the jumping of Thunder Rock and whether they really stand up. But this will tell us how good that is. I thought you could make a decent case for Balco Coastal being the second best of these in conditions, because the going over on the chase course at Sandown is liable to be good to soft. They've not had rain for a while. They're not expecting rain for a while at Sandown either. And it is always quicker on the chase course. Balco Coastal needs goodish ground. I thought he was really impressive. I know it was only in a handicap on his second start over fences at Kempton. He was he didn't really enjoy chasing for the first half of his chase debut at Newbury. His jumping didn't pass muster, but the second half of the race was a lot better, and he ended up running on and finishing pretty close in a race that has worked out well. That was it was a limited handicap in which the first four had all won their previous starts. Balco Coastal just didn't jump with any fluency, but he did at Kempton, and he ended up running out a pretty impressive winner at this trip. He was disappointing in the Imperial Cup last year, totally down to the ground. It was really bad ground at Sandown. And I think with the ground coming up good, he could be the one for the forecast behind Jerry Colomb. But Jerry Colomb, it'd be disappointing if he's not good enough to win this. We both made the argument, you know, he was high in the betting for the National Hunt Chase, and we both said it'd be a massive disappointment if he ends up in the National Hunt Chase. He's surely too classy for that. And this is his chance to prove that he's better than the best the English have at around this trip.
Okay, right. Jerry Colomb to win. Balco Coastal for the forecast option if you want to play that for Rory. You can be sure that I've chucked Jerry Colomb into my treble. That is now a fourfold, and we're now looking at over 7.5 to 1. The mug fourfold. Come on, absolutely going to kick it in. No bother. 240 at Wetherby. You mentioned the National Chase, Rory. The Towton Novice Chase. This could have a bit of a bearing on the National Chase because you've got Ballygriffin Cottage, City Chief, O'Toole and Bellatrixa, and Ballygriffin Cottage and City Chief would potentially go to the National Chase.
Well, City Chief's in there. City Chief is one of three in Joe and Murray Donnelly's colours in the National Hunt Chase. And you can see that the connections want to have all options open to them in terms of the those events. City Chief clearly stays 3 miles. Well, he's not good enough to be running, to be winning a Brown Advisory. But he might be worth throwing into the National Hunt Chase. He would need to jump a bit better than he has in two starts over fences. He was badly let down by his jumping at Exeter. And then he was better at Hereford. But again, Hereford's fences are not stiff fences. And I think that was a confidence booster for him. He could well come on again. He's certainly not a grade one horse, but and Ballygriffin Cottage has claims to being a grade one horse, always held in high regard. He did really well to finish fourth in the Albert Barton last year, given his lack of experience. And he was visually really impressive when winning on his chase debut at Haydock, beating Beauport 11 lengths. Obviously, Beauport then went on to only finish fourth in the Dipper. That maybe took a little bit of a knock, Paddy Power. But Ballygriffin Cottage, for all you can knock the form, and the time figure wasn't hugely impressive, he jumped superbly for a chase debutant and looked like he was destined for the top. Looked a really good prospect. He would have been favourite for the Quarto Star at Cheltenham over Christmas. But he was a non-runner in that, and Dan relied on his mare instead. And I was slightly surprised the fact that Ballygriffin Cottage came out of that. And now he rocks up with a tongue tie. And that's just a bit of a concern that the tongue tie goes on, suggesting that he might have a breathing problem, but they don't have the time to give him a proper operation before the end of the season. That's the only thing that puts me off, because he looks like he really is potentially top-notch. But you know, he is an 8-year-old already. He's not had very much racing. He's clearly had a problem or two. So that's the one concern for anyone who's looking to buy money in Ballygriffin Cottage. He's a better horse than City Chief. O'Toole's interesting.
In that Sam Ewing won over, yeah.
Yeah, he won well on his chase debut. That was a Newcastle handicap off a mark of 130. It wasn't the strongest race in the world on paper. He did it nicely enough and looked like he might come forward. But again, he's stepping up in trip to 3 miles for the first time. On paper, he should stay. He's by a mile right of a Zafran mare, and there are plenty of stamina in that pedigree. But he's untried beyond 2.5 miles. He wasn't exactly hitting the line hard at Newcastle. He won easily, but it was a slow motion finish in behind him. So his stamina doubts have still got to be addressed. He progressed over hurdles. He only had 3 starts over hurdles, having shown very good form in bumpers. He was second in a red hot bumper at Punchestown, of course, splitting Kilcrutt and Sir Gerhardt. You don't get much better form than that. But he didn't immediately look a superstar over hurdles. He won well enough on his hurdles debut. He was then a little bit disappointing at Nice, and then finished third in a handicap of a pretty lenient looking 1-2-3 at Down Royal. If he stays, he's got chances, but as I said, the stamina is a slight question mark there. So it's hard to be absolutely adamant. Ballygriffin Cottage looks the best horse in the race and looks a horse with a big future. But the fitting of the tongue tie just stops me from making him a bet in the race. But again, I don't want to back horses that I think are inferior to him because of a slight concern. So you just have to, maybe reduce your stakes on them if you want to back him.
We're all still a little bit scarred by the old tongue tie and Zana here when he rocked up in the Triumph when he's going to hack up. And then all of a sudden it came out of nowhere.
When you're not expecting a tongue tie and one suddenly appears, it tends to be alarm bells.
And hasn't run in 66 days. I mean, you said he was obviously a tended runner. Anyway, that's the Towton Novice Chase, 2 over 240. Before I get your Saturday naps, lads, and let you go, Sunday, we're operating before declarations. Ruby Walsh, state man, favourite to beat Honeysuckle. Is that a surprising comment? If I'd said that to you a couple of months ago, would you have been like, what?
Of course you would. I mean, she's the reigning champion hurdler. Before the Hatton's Grace, you would have said, yeah, she'd be favourite. Until she runs in the champion hurdle, and depending on what Constitution Hill has done then, who knows what will happen that day. But she did get beaten by Tehupu and Classical Dream. She finished third. The gloss, I suppose, has probably slightly gone off her. Stateman looks the younger, improving horse, and he's favourite. He's in great form. I'd say he's improved again since Christmas. Vauban is in the race. He's improved a little too. And Honeysuckle is still Honeysuckle. Animals are not motor cars. They can all be slightly under on any given day. She's a wonderful mare, but I think the man will beat her.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was wondering if you're going to put your money on. There is an angle that Vauban could get closer to Stateman.
He could, but I'd still say Stateman is improving.
Okay, he's a friend of the pod, El State Man. Right, we have Saturday best bets, folks. I got Ruby's thoughts, by the way, on the champion because he's being replaced by a certain Frank Hickey tomorrow, so get ready for that on the Sunday pod. Best bets on Saturday. What a Saturday of racing. I will go to you, Rory Delargy, first.
I'm going to go for one that we haven't mentioned yet.
What?
I know, it's great.
How did I miss a race? Okay.
Well, no, you didn't. We didn't look at all the ITV races in the UK, and the race before the Scilly Isles is the Dolos handicap chase, named after Dolos, who keeps winning it. So the obvious bet in this race is clearly Red Rookie for Emma Lavelle. Listen, Dolos has got every chance. He's become fairly well handicapped again. He loves Sandown, and he's going to give a good account of himself. But Red Rookie is a horse I liked last season. He was a bit overfaced in the Arkell. But he was he suggested that he was a very good handicap chaser in the making before that. He should have won on his debut at Chepstow, I thought, came from too far back, but still was beaten by one in very good form. He then fell at Ascot when strongly fancied, and he needed to go to Hereford to win his novice chase. And then on the back of that, he went straight to Cheltenham after 10 weeks off, which wasn't the best idea. He wouldn't have been disgraced but for falling at the last. He was probably running his best race in actual fact and backing up the promise of his previous runs. He then reappeared after a fair break at Chepstow on Welsh National Day and finished fifth over 2.5 miles. I'm not entirely sure he stayed the trip, but fundamentally I thought he was in need of the run after the break. Shaped up well for a fair way. And finished fifth behind Fugitive. that is decent form, as we know, given how well Fugitive ran off his revised mark at Cheltenham the other day. And I thought Red Rookie will benefit from the drop back to 2 miles at Sandown. The handicapper hasn't had much of a chance to assess him. And I always got the impression he was better than he was able to show last year for various reasons. And this is his best opportunity to prove that.
Lovely. Red Rookie. 145 Sandown. Kind of a price we're looking at, Rory?
That is a fine question. I do not know.
Okay, all right. I will try to find that while Ruby gives us his nap. Ruby, go on. Nap on Saturday, please.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. In the Irish Arkle. What an Arkle. That is. What an Irish Arkle that is. So that's an interesting nap from Ruby. Albeit you did mention that San Roque could be one each way, or at least maybe to follow him home.
Yeah. I meant the claws are coming from the back. That's what I meant for San Roque. But appreciate it is the nap. Mullinization of racing.
Mullinization. Hashtag Mullinization. We'll use that. The Nap Lads is the fourfold. Don't worry about it. Appreciate it is one leg of that, so that's fine. Throw in Lossie Mate, Galloping Deschamps, and Jerry Kalam. Lovely jubbly. That'll pay for a few on Saturday night. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your look ahead to Saturday's racing. We'll be back to look ahead to Sunday's. Ruby's out. Frank's in. Substitution on DRF weekend. Ruby, enjoy the weekend. No doubt very busy on RTE/RTV as usual.
I am, PK, and you make it sound like I'm taking the morning off, but I'm actually doing another job for Paddy Power tomorrow, and that is why I'm not on the pod. I'm not Dawson.
I don't think anyone would accuse you of Dawson, Ruby.
No, probably not, but you were insinuating it, so I'm just putting you right.
I insinuated nothing. I just said
what do you think, Rory? You know him as long as I do. I thought there was an insinuation.
There was an implication there. Yes.
I thought the same, yeah. Thank you very much, Rory.
Fair enough. I'll see you down the booze with Ruby tomorrow. Rory, you're potentially in Ireland this weekend?
I hope I'm in Ireland this weekend. The flight's booked, the hotel's booked. So,
you know,
I don't feel like getting too far beyond my bed at this stage, but I'm sure I'll get a new lease of life.
I hate to break up this, lads, but like as you're talking, I am in the UK and I really want to be in Ireland for the weekend, so I'm out here.
Yes. Bye, Ruby. Bye, Ruby. The usual Ruby legs. And all right, look, lads, have a great weekend. Rory, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Ruby, we'll talk to you next week. On Monday, of course, we've got the latest episode of Cheltenham Countdown. And thankfully, on Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, they can say, let's see how he runs in the DRF on Monday. They're going to have seen the horse run of the DRF. So we'll talk to you again on tomorrow. Don't forget, Fridays with Fran is also up and coming as well. So very busy weekend for us. Best of luck.